All right. Good to have them here with us tonight.
I'm pressing on the upward way. New hearts I'm getting every day. Still praying as I onward fold. Lord, put my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, put my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay. Where doubts array, their fears dismay. Those who made the world is upon. My prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, put my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world. Though Satan's darts at me are hurled, for faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, put my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high and catch a glimpse of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table land. A higher place than I have found. Lord, put my feet on higher ground.
Amen.
Amen. There's a long black train coming down one. Think of the souls that are lost and crying. Rails of sin on the heath or main. Watch out, brother, for the long black train. You can look to the heavens, you can look to the sky. You can find addiction, stand back until you rise. There is protection and there's peace the same. Burn in your ticket for that long black train. There's an engine on that long black train. Make him wonder if the ride is worth the pain. He's just waiting on your heart to say, let me ride on that long black train. And there's victory in the Lord, I pray. Victory in the Lord. Claim to his Father and his holy name. Don't go running on that long black train. I can hear that whistle from a mile away. It sounds so good, but I must stay away. Well, that train is a beauty, making everybody stir. But its only destination is the middle of nowhere. And there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord. Claim to the Father and his holy name. Don't go right on that long black train. I said claim to the Father and his holy name. Don't go right on that long black train. The devil's a driving that long black train.
Thank you, Peyton and Skyler. I certainly appreciate them singing and envy them. I wish I'd have done like they do. praised the Lord in my youth. I was a late bloomer, but I did get in. Anybody else got a song in your heart tonight? Anything on your heart tonight? We'd certainly welcome any anyone's got a song in your heart tonight. We certainly welcome the opportunity if you want to sing tonight. And if not, we'll turn to Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6 tonight. Done said earlier, I don't think I'll be very long, but I can't promise that. My pastor used to say that, and we'd all laugh. We knew we'd be there to midnight. Anytime he said, I don't think it's going to be much, won't be long, and we just, like a better word, we realized that we're going to be there a while. It's always an inside joke. But we'll read 8 verses here of Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis was wrote by Moses. Moses is mentioned in Exodus chapter number 2. He's not even been born when this takes place, and yet he gives us this detailed account of what we're going to read right here. And God gave him, if you'll look in front of your Bible, it'll say the first book of Moses called Genesis. Genesis 6:1 said, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, and will not always strive, for he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he'd made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we'll stop our reading right there. And thank you for standing for the Word of God. I want to preach tonight, Noah found grace. And pray with me tonight. Father, we thank you for the privilege on this rainy, snowy night. Lord, are these that have gathered in your house, Father, for the Word of God. Lord, for the purpose, Lord, dear Father, of honoring you on this blessed day. John, exile on the Isle of Patmos, said I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And Lord, a lot of people don't put no thought to going to church. And some, Lord, if the door's open, they'll be here. And we thank you, Father, for these that are counted faithful. Lord, here tonight, pray you bless them with a double portion, Lord, for the effort they put forth to come tonight. And Lord, I pray you'd visit our hearts, open our eyes. And Lord, I pray, Father God, you would draw us closer to Thee. Thank you for the good service this morning, for the things that we saw, things that we felt, things that we heard. And Lord, we could certainly identify that, Lord, they were your doings. We pray, dear Father, tonight there would be some of the same here tonight. Thank you for the good singing tonight. Thank you for Caitlin and Skyle and Father sharing, Lord, their songs with us tonight. Bless them. And all these things, we give you praise and ask your blessing upon our efforts tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm getting my mic on here tonight. Let me turn that thing off. I thought I heard an echo up here a while ago. Loudmouth as I am, I don't need to be very close to a microphone anyway. But the Bible said that Noah found grace. I believe he was looking for it. I believe that he wanted
to find grace. You know, you'll find grace when you look for it. But one thing to note there was verse number 6, it talked about God was grieved in His heart that He made man. And even though God was grieved in His heart, He never gave up on man. And I'm glad He didn't. And praise God, I'm glad He didn't give up on me. And our message tonight is mainly about Noah. But I want to back up to Genesis chapter 4 real quick. Comment on Cain just a little bit. Genesis 4 verse number 5. The Bible talks about Cain. And it said he was mad and his countenance fell. Now the reason he's mad is because him and his brother put forth an effort to worship God. And both of them tried two different ways. Molly Abel brought a first of the flock, brought the bread, got saved, accepted it. And Cain brought his turnips, I guess. Someone said you can't get blood out of a turnip. I don't know that he brought a turnip, but he brought that which he'd have worked and worked hard for. And then he brought it and set it up there. And God said, I ain't got no respect for that. You know, God's always been a fond of the bread. He said, when I see the bread, I'll pass over. Well, after shedding the blood, no remission of sins. Don't show up before God without the bread. Amen. Okay, and he got mad. But if he got mad, the Bible said his countenance failed. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 6, it says Cain is questioned. God asked Cain, what are you doing mad? What's wrong with you? Why is your countenance falling? And in verse number 7, Cain's warned. And in that warning, God tells Cain, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, God says, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And I'll tell you what, Cain's mad, Cain's questioned, Cain's warned. In verse number 8, the Bible said that Cain talked with his brother Abel, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And in verse number 13, if you drop on down there, Cain's complaining to God, and he says, my punishment's greater than I can bear. You know what? Reminds me, a lot of people are getting in trouble. The first thing gets them in trouble is they get mad. The second thing is they act on that anger, even though they know better. And then next thing you know, they've done something, and they think somehow it ought to be excused. They think somehow it ought to be some kind of law wrote to somehow waive all the consequences of the actions. But the Bible said in Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I think it's verse 13 and 14. Fear God and keep His commandments, for that's the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And I'll just tell you, there's going to be a day when everyone's going to stand giving account to God. And Cain here, even though he's mad, even though he's questioned, even though he's warned, kills his brother, and then he complains. A lot of people are going to be like that. But the good thing about Genesis chapter 4 is verse number 26. That verse says, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. That's the first mention of that. And that tells me in that one verse that even though this terrible tragedy, even though this awful wickedness is going on, there are still some men calling upon God and asking somehow for God to help and intervene. Verse 24 of Genesis 5 says, and Enoch, that's the seventh from Adam, walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That's another positive thing before we get to all this negative. And praise God, I'm glad there's two good things. Men begin to call upon the name of the Lord, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not because God took him. But let's get over here to Genesis chapter 6 now. Genesis 6 verse 8 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There's another good positive thing in the midst of all this wickedness. And Verse 9 tells us how he found that grace. Said Noah was a just man, and if you are a just man or just woman, you can find grace in the eyes of the Lord. God does not, the Bible said he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And the Bible said God, he's light, in him's no darkness at all. And if we're going to have any fellowship with God, the Bible said we got to walk in the light. And if we do walk in the light, Molly, it says we can have fellowship one with another. God's so holy, he don't walk in darkness. He walks in the light. And the Bible said the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And Noah was that kind of man. He walked in the light. He had fellowship with God. He's a just man. Amen. I tell you, that's how to find grace. The Bible tells us in Proverbs, the way of transgressors is hard. And a lot of people go that way and they just get mad at God. They're like Cain. They say, if God loves me, why am I having such a hard time? They don't take any thought to the path that Cain chose. They don't take any thought to the path that Enoch chose and Noah chose. But verse 9 says not only that Noah was a just man, but it said he was perfect in his generations. And the latter part of that said, and Noah walked with God. Amen. So here's a man, Carolyn, found grace, just man, perfect in his generations, and he's walking with God. Right in the middle of all this wickedness. It's almost like a pearl. Here in the midst of all this darkness, someone reaches in and pulls out a pearl, and that pearl's Noah. Another good thing about Noah is found in verse number 22. And that verse says, thus did Noah according to all God commanded him, so did he. He done those things that God wanted him to do. God told him to build an ark. And I'll tell you what, it took him over 100 years to build it. It was a big undertaking. It wasn't easy. But the day and hour he built it in, wasn't an easy time doing work for God either. Wasn't like he had a bunch of help. Wasn't like what he was doing made any sense. It never rained. God said, I'm going to send a flood. Noah said, what's a flood? But the Bible does say in the book of Hebrews that Noah moved with fear to the building of the ark, to the saving of his house. Brother Bobby, if Noah hadn't moved with fear, he'd have never built that ark. If Noah hadn't found grace, he wouldn't have walked with God. But I'll tell you what, you can look at Noah and you can see some things, boy, that we need in our lives. I'll tell you what, buddy, we can find grace. We can walk with God. We can be perfect in our generation. I'm telling you, buddy, we can stick out, amen, if we'll just do what we ought to do. The Bible said about Jesus, said he went around, came favor with men and God. He's the only one I know who could do that. I'll tell you, seem like in my best state, I'm just vanity. The Bible does say that, man, his best state is vanity, but it seems like the harder I try, the more I fail. And then I get thinking, well, I won't do nothing. Jeremiah said, I'll not make mention of his name no more. But he said that his word was in my bone like a fire, and I couldn't stay. I'm telling you, you can't stop. You can't quit. You got to keep going. So if you're going to keep going, why not just do right? Why not just be a just man? Why not be perfect in your just? Why not leave behind a testimony like Enoch that he pleased God? Amen. Amen. Noah, he's building this ark, Brother Melvin. It's about 100 years, maybe a little longer. Everybody comes by, and I told my pastor, I said, you know, Brother Rick, I bet when Noah's building that ark, I bet people come in and sit down that ark and say, tell me again, Noah, what you building this thing for? What's this flood you talking about? What's this preaching? Now you preached, the Bible said he was a preacher of righteousness, and he preached for 120 years, and his message never changed. He said, God's going to send a flood, and you better get in this ark. Amen. Amen. I wonder how many come in there and sit on the beams of that ark, yep, heard that man of God preach as he worked, and said, Noah, you're crazy! There ain't going to be no flood. You know what? Maybe even Noah, Brother Melvin, maybe he thought, maybe I am crazy. Maybe there ain't going to be no flood. But I'll tell you one thing. The Bible said he's done what God commanded him. He got that ark all built. They studied that ark, Molly. They said it's the most seaworthy vessel in the world. Sharon, they said it cannot be sunk. A lot of these luxury cruisers, that they take them vacations on, what they call them, I don't know, it looked about like an ark to me. But they're built on the same principle of that ark. The length and the breadth and the height of it. Them mega cruisers, whatever they are, I don't know what to call them. Them great big boats. They're built on the same thought that God told Noah to build that ark. They're humongous. They're huge. Had 3 stories. 45, I think, feet high. 75 feet wide. 450 feet long. It was a big undertaking. It was something, I'm a procrastinator. I told Margaret today, I put my wife's, I hope she don't hear this, put my wife's faucet on her sink 12 years after she bought it, Carolyn. She brought it home and said, look, I got me some new faucets. And I run out of excuses, hired, and I said, okay, I'll put it on there today. She sucked that little granddaughter on me. She said, Pop, if you love me, you put that faucet on there today. And I went in there and I tried to say, it won't fit, it won't work. It was definitely made for our sink. I was kind of glad I got it over with. It didn't nothing cooperate, but I did get it done. It wasn't. I'm playing, I reckon. I couldn't fit underneath there, and there wasn't no way to get comfortable. I couldn't get my head nowhere. My wife walked by, and first thing she said, there's a dead mouse underneath. I said, the heck with that. That's my littlest problem. But anyway, I'm glad I didn't have to build an ark. But with the same thought in mind, we're all left with a task to do. Every one of us is part of a building of God, a master plan that God already in His mind has already figured out. And it's a church. We're all part of the body of Christ. We're all, I tell you what, body joined together in that effort, in that work. Every one of us is a living epistle. Every one of us, I tell you what, is a witness unto Jesus. Amen. We all need to work. Yes. Noah found grace. You can find grace. God said if you needed to give more grace. I can't imagine a day without grace, but I'll tell you what, you don't want a day without grace. I can tell you that right now. Paul went complaining to God. He said, if you take this thorn out, I could do a whole lot better job for you, God. God said, go thy way, Paul. My grace is sufficient for thee. Even though it didn't make no sense, Brother Marvin, later on, he said, I found a law. He said, in that law, I found out when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Because God said, I can't use you in your strength. I've got to have you weak so you depend upon me instead of upon you for the job I got you to do. We can never just figure out how all this works. I mean, it really, it's just the opposite of what you think. And the less of you, the better off you are. The more Jesus, the better off you are. I'm telling you, Paul said, I got to die daily so Christ can live. And Paul said, that's why Paul said, I die daily. But this undertaking that Noah, I don't know if he had any family problems or not. I don't know if they fought every day like me and my family does or not. I don't know if it went, with complimentary, are you doing a good job? Or if it went, this is a waste of time. This ain't never going to work. This boat ain't never going to float. I'll tell you one thing, they finished that thing. They finished it according to the Word of God. That's what we got to do. We got to finish it according to the Word of God. There's a lot of people tell you, you can do this. My son's always telling me, Brother Melvin, it's amazing. He knows so much more than I do. Reminds me of me trying to tell my dad. I don't know if that's ever going to quit or not. But he said, Daddy, and sometimes he's right. That's what's really bad. That really bothers me. I never was ever right. But he's sometimes right. He knows more about this computer stuff than I do. He said, Dad, look here, just click right there and it's a done deal. And I'll fight tooth and nail and finally he ain't around. I'll click right there, Brother Howard. He's right. Clear right out, just go straight through it. I got to take the old fashioned long way and lock a computer up and everything else trying to get somewhere. But he's smarter than I am on some things. But I'm smarter than he is on some things. So we kind of balance that out. But I don't know how the work went. I just know one thing, they finished it. When they finished that work, God told him to take his family and go into the ark. He said, come down into the ark. They tell me God was in there. And when they come into that ark, the Bible said God shut the door. And when God shut that door, listen, about when God shuts the door, no man can open it. Amen. And when He opens the door, no man can shut it. But in this case, God shut that door. And I'll tell you what it was in. I guess Noah probably told his family, he said, boy, I'm glad I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It may not have made no sense about this flood that he'd been preaching for 120 years. But I'll tell you what, buddy, when it broke loose, when it started raining from above and from beneath, and the fountains of the earth were broken up, and the ark raised up between the heaven and the earth, pitching the cross and Christ, I'll tell you what, it's only one place of safety. And if you wasn't in that ark, you perished. Amen. Yeah. All of a sudden the message became real. And you and I know we preach. I know people here, and their ears are dull to hear it, and they say preaching something new. There ain't nothing new. It's the same message. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. The long suffering of God waited like He did in the days of Noah. And I tell you what, buddy, God's not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance and get saved. Amen. Ain't it amazing God put in the Bible He gave a woman named Jezebel space to repent. And He went on to say, and she repented not. That's kind of a double jeopardy. Brother Howard, He not only gave her space to repent, but she didn't repent. And that space, no matter how long it would have been, if God had doubled it or tripled it, still wouldn't have been enough. She was not going to repent. Everybody's not going to get saved. Though they all ought to get saved. They all won't. That's why the Bible, and I got in trouble over this verse, don't cast your pearls before swine. God come up to me, and I thought I was real spiritual, Brother Melvin. Chuck Barbie come up to me, little Chuck Barbie, he ain't about 5 foot tall. Brother James, he's real gracious guy, real reserved, not very outspoken, very godly man. Chuck Barbie come up to me, and he said, Brother Eddie, he said, you got time, I'd like to ask you a question. I'm real spiritual, you know. I said, well, I'll take time, Brother Chuck, what you got? And I couldn't wait, you know, getting a good debate or something there, Carolyn. And he said, what do you think this verse here means about don't cast your pearls before swine? I said, well, Brother Chuck, I never really gave it much thought. I don't really know what it means. And Chuck, real gracious, and he really is. He said, well, Brother Eddie, I'll tell you what I think it means. He said, I think it means you ought not to witness to everyone, but go to those that God leads you to, and you'll probably be more successful. And I got like Cain, big and mad. I mean, I lost it. I'm talking about, boy, my account has done more than fail. I couldn't even hide it. And I just blew up. I said, I don't count to witness to everybody. That'll stand still long enough. Everyone smiling great night and day with tears. And after I showed my hand in, he walked off, Billy. And I'm still up there foaming and ranting and raving. He come up there later on. He says, everything all right, Brother Eddie? And I said, yeah, I'm fine, Chuck. I'm over. I mean, I'm ready to tear a phone book in half. And it eat me up all day long. I couldn't get away from it. It was just swallowing me up. On the way home from work that day, Brother Melvin, I stopped over at the church. And I went there and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. And I said, I know you already know what happened today, and I don't know how, but I've messed it up. Could you help me? And I said, Lord, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to ask my wife what that verse means, and whatever she says, I'm going to take it to be from you. Because I don't know what to do, Molly. And I drove home, walked in that door, and my wife's standing there cooking supper. And I said, honey, hold on just a minute on the supper cooking. I need to ask you a question. And she come over and said, what you need, honey? She's wiping flour off her hands, you know. And I said, what do you think this verse means about don't cast your pearls before swine? She said, well, honey, she said, I think it means y'all not witness to everybody, but only those that the Lord leads you to witness to is what I think. And I went back in the back bedroom, throwed up my white flag, and said, I surrender. I don't have to always be right. But I'll tell you what, that day I didn't like being wrong, but I was wrong. And, you know, you may not feel that way about that verse, but I've said it. There's no question about it in my mind. While I'm wasting my time over some Jezebel that's going to hell, no matter what I do, no matter how hard I try or how hard I pray, there's someone over here hanging on by a frayed thread wanting somebody to come. Right. They went out on visitation one night. I come up to a house, Molly, and I was by myself, others, they's in twos, and I was the odd man, so I'm going down there all by myself. I beat on the front door, and I beat the thing down, Carolyn. Nobody come to the door. Well, I went around the back of the house. I was getting in there one way or another. I went back to the house, and I beat on that door. Directly, here come a woman to the door. I said, ma'am, we're out on visitation night. I said, not only I'd like to invite you to church, I said, are you saved? She broke down in tears just soon. I said, are you saved? I said, is everything all right, ma'am? She said, the reason I didn't answer that front door, she said, I was down on the floor here in the kitchen with a butcher knife to my chest, trying to get enough nerve to take my life, and you're asking me if I'm saved. I said, ma'am, it's not supposed to be like that. Jesus didn't come for that. Jesus came so you could be saved. Led that woman to the Lord right there, and I mean, it was hallelujah time. Had to be persistent. I didn't just knock on the front door, Carolyn. If I hadn't went to the back door, that woman may have perished. I don't know what she is enduring. Anita commented this morning about a young girl up there at McDonald's. You never know what somebody's, how heavy a load they're carrying, how great their burden is. And my heart went out to that young girl. I don't even know the situation for what it was. But a lot of people, boy, they're just about to go on it for the last time. But we got to be a Noah in this day. Jesus said in the last days it'd be like it was in the days of Noah. Amen. Said they'll marry and give them marriage until the flood came, took them all away. Then he went a little further and said, so shall it be like it was in the days of Lot when the Son of Man comes. He said, they knew not till the fire fell and destroyed them all. I'll tell you, that's the days we're living in. It's days of uncertainty. Now, I don't know how this world's going to end. I just know it's going to end. Yeah. I know it ain't going to be too long. We drove out today to do a little visiting. And Dewey Cooper put some signs up. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Is that right, Dewey Cooper? Got them signs. Got that clock on it. Boy, God bless that man. I tell you what, if nothing else, boy, he's pointing people to the fact that eternity is coming. And I'll tell you what, it's kind of like in the category of red or not, it's still coming, amen. Let me say tonight, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And young or old tonight, you can find grace, amen. I believe he found it because he's looking for it. I believe he found it because he wanted it, amen. And if you want grace, you can find it tonight, amen. Jesus. I commented last Sunday about this. I want to elaborate just a little bit more thoroughly about it. Enoch pictures a church. He walked with God and he was not. Noah pictures the Jew in the tribulation that'll be protected and he'll make it through it. Lot pictures the end of the world, and I'll give more scripture about that tonight. Then Lot's day, God sent fire and brimstone. God said He's going to destroy this earth with fire. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 39 through 42, that in the last days God will send His angels again to get His wheat gathered in His barn from among the tares. And in Genesis 19:16, angels took Lot by the hand, and his wife and his two daughters, and dragged them out of Sodom. That's about the way it'll be in the end time, in the end of the world. God will send down His angels one more time and drag them up. And the reason He's going to drag them up, because they belong to Him. The Bible said about Lot that he was a righteous man going among them, vexed his righteous soul from day to day from their wicked conversation, and neither was he partaker of their evil deeds. That's the day and hour you and I are living in. That's why they're promoting this same-sex marriage. They're rewriting the laws. They've got the corrupt judges in there. They're overthrowing your vote, your will. That's the day and hour we're living in, Brother Billy. Just like it was in Lot's day. Marrying and giving in marriage. And they're doing that which is right in their own eyes. But Noah done that which was right in the eyes of God. And he found grace. And I'll tell you what, you can do that which is right in your own eyes. And you can find judgment and wrath. Or you can do that which is right in the eyes of God. And you can find grace like Noah did. I'll tell you one thing, buddy. One way or another, you're going to meet God. You're either going to meet Him at the great white throne of judgment, or you're going to meet Him at the door of heaven, and He's going to say, enter thou into the joys of the Lord, thou good and faithful servant. One way or another, buddy, every one of us is going to give account of ourselves to God. Noah, Boy, what a message he gives us. He found grace in the time of great wickedness. Do you read that? In Noah's day, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, just like it is in our day. That every imagination and thought, his heart was only evil continually. You can't go watch a movie. Some policeman at a movie theater, a man, his wife, was evidently texting. He just turned around, shot the man, hit the woman. At the showing of Batman, The Dark Knight, some guy comes in with a shotgun. I forgot how many people he killed. Looks like some demon to me. Shot a young girl, 15 years old or something, on the front row. Husband and wife, turn a shopping mall, go out there, get in the car. He puts his wife in the car, walks around the other side. Guy shoots him 4 or 5 times. Wife takes off running, they take the car. That's the day and hour we're living in. Children go to school, it's a normal day, until 20 are laying dead, shot, every one of them shot twice. That's the day and hour we're living in. Paul said, the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter days, be perilous times. Amen. Men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. Proud boasters, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. That's the day Noah was a just man in that day. Noah found grace in that day. Noah walked with God in that day. Verse 11, I didn't read it, said the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. Here's why it was corrupt: for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. That's not what God had in mind. I'll tell you right now, God had peace, love, forgiveness, blessings. But man's way is Cain's way. It's a way of transgressing wickedness. You're either going to be a Cain or you're going to be a Noah. But one way or another, you're still going to have a confrontation with God. Amen. I'd rather find grace than be cursed like Cain was. Become a fugitive and a vagabond. God cursed the earth. And Cain complained, said, my punishment's greater than I can bear. Don't go that way. Look to Jesus and you can find grace. Father, we thank you for the message tonight. Lord, I don't even know how this message went in the ears of the hearers, but I do pray, dear Father God, tonight that something said tonight, Lord, could go home or even right now in our heart and make us aware of the fact, Lord, that you're on our side, that you're not against us, but you're for us. Lord, you beckon us to come to you. Invite us, Lord, to come one and all. And help us, I pray, to be obedient to that invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask everyone to stand tonight. Like I said, I don't know how the message went to you. I'll tell you one thing tonight. It's perfect for the day and hour we're living in. And for all I know, on the way home tonight, someone might be called out. And it's one of them kind of things. If you're not ready, you're still going to get called out. Yeah. Amen. Free soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. And He will surely give you rest by trusting in a second, Brother Melvin. This has just a second every head to be bowed. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I feel led to do it. Is there someone here tonight, Brother Eddie? I need this message tonight. I need prayer, and I'm raising my hand. God will see my hand. And I pray that you'll see my hand tonight and remember me in prayer. Is there someone here tonight in that category? Maybe you're here tonight lost. Maybe you're here tonight and you just don't understand. But you raise that hand, I promise you this, God will see it. You'll find grace by doing it.
And if not, I'd be all right. But if there's one here tonight, if you'd raise that hand right now, we'd see it. And we'd certainly be mindful and forward to pray about that. Go ahead, Brother Melvin.
Verse 2. For Jesus in His precious blood, mercies to bestow.
Maybe somebody got a word on your heart tonight. I promise you this. Very timely message for the day and hour we're living in. And maybe somebody got a word on your heart tonight.
Brother Eddie, I want to thank God for saving me.
Bless you, Brother Billy.
Thank God for just letting me get here in time for preaching. And you can do whatever the devil wants to do after I leave here.
Bless you, Brother Billy. Amen. Appreciate Brother Billy. He gave us some CDs, and I certainly enjoyed them. He said he'll try to get a couple more. And I certainly appreciate Brother Billy and Sister Sharon. Appreciate those girls singing tonight. Appreciate everybody coming out on a night like tonight. I wasn't expecting this many people to be here, but y'all certainly blessed me, and I'm sure you blessed the Lord just by making an appearance tonight. Anybody else got a word tonight? Not, we'll get out of here. Be careful going home. I think we'll be all right, but don't... You'll be watching. There might be some ice on the road. I don't know. Anybody got anything?
I pray for the Lord tonight. I love Him.
Thank Bless you, Molly. Amen. Yeah, Molly, she testifies, she always comments on that blood. And I'll tell you what, Buddy, God always comments on that blood. If you'll notice, He said in Leviticus 17, verse 11, He said, life of the flesh is in the blood. He said, I've given it upon the altar to make atonement for you souls. That blood, buddy, I'll tell you what, thank God He's willing to shed His blood. A perfect alibi for a sinner. Say, I claim the blood. I'll tell you what, that'll get you in.
You know, I go back a lot from the day I was saved.
Yeah.
And think where I've been, where He's brought me from, where I am today.
Amen, Mama.
All because of the blood.
Amen.
I praise
Amen.
Your holy name.
Amen.
I mean, you need to take inventory if you like.
Yeah.
Go back there.
Yeah.
Just go back.
Amen.
And see what it was all about that day, and it still is.
That's right. I remember how filthy I was when I knelt down. I remember how clean I was when I got up. Boy, nothing clean like that.
And stop blaming other people for your life.
Amen.
Live your life the way He saved you.
Amen.
You live that life. Don't try to live somebody else. Live yours.
Well, it's good, Molly.
You are the one.
She's
the one.
Exactly right.
You are the one that's going to stand before
that's right.
You. Nobody else is going to stand for you. It's a one-on-one, you and God.
Amen.
And people better start taking that serious.
That's right.
And keep looking up. Don't look down.
Amen.
This world is a mess right now. But Christ hasn't changed. He's still
the same.
Yesterday,
today, forevermore.
Still handing down His blessings.
Yeah.
I praise Him. Sometimes He gives me a high that it's unreal. Woo! You know, I can just think, Lord, if just a little bit of, that You give me on earth is just what it's going to be like in heaven. And I'm not going to miss out on heaven because of somebody else. I praise Him tonight. I thank Him for what He's done for me.
Bless you, Mom.
I praise His holy name. I love Him tonight.
Heaven! Hallelujah. We do stereotype one another, and we shouldn't do that. We should be more conformed to the image of our Savior and be more like Him, but we do, for some reason, like she said, just be yourself. Be yourself. And
you
be all.
And all this other stuff, you're missing out.
Amen.
You are missing out.
That's right.
God's pouring out to you. You're missing it.
Amen.
I mean, He's got so much, it's just unreal.
That's good.
It's unreal.
I like it. Amen.
On the way to heaven, if He comes back out, glory, hallelujah.
Yeah.
So.
Amen. Who else got a word tonight? That's good. I like that.
The closer we live, the more blessed we
That's are. Right. That's blessed.
So suit me, though. I'm disappointed myself.
Bless you, Brother Melvin.
I'm human, but, you know, God's
right. He's right. There's blessings to be had, and you can have many of them you want. God, He desires to
you know,
bless.
There's times that, you know, I can just feel my arms crossed.
Yeah.
Glory bound. you know, crossing that river. Seeing him on the other side. I just praise his holy name tonight.
Amen. The Bible said God won't keep any good thing from you. He wants you to have it. He wants you to have the good. Anybody else got a word tonight?
No, but I was thinking, Brother Eddie, about the message tonight. You know, God's love is so great. I was thinking about how it grieved him that he had made man.
Yeah.
But it was because he loved us so much that we were turning to these simple ways of the world.
True.
And we're still doing that today.
Right.
Holding on like we could be.
Yeah. It said that that man corrupted his way on the earth. See, God had a plan. And man wouldn't conform to the plan. So God had to make another plan. And I'm glad he never gave up on us. And even today he doesn't give up. The Bible said yet his hand still stretched out all the day long.
Yeah. And,
it's hard to understand God because he's in a category like none we've ever known. He never gives up.
Brother Eddie, I thought tonight that, you know, if we don't make it, it's nobody's fault but ours.
That's right.
And said that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And, what is grace? It is the unmerited love and favor of God toward us.
Amen.
That we were undeserving of it.
Yeah.
Amen. It's there for all of us.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have it because we don't accept it. That's where it is. And, you know, if I don't make it, I'm not going to be able to blame you, Linda, or anybody else.
All right.
And I think sometimes that Satan is defeating the Christian, that he's robbing them and stealing and taking away our joy. Like Sister Molly said a minute ago, that we worry too much about all of these negative things.
Right.
We don't need to worry about them.
Yeah.
Keep ourselves unspotted, the Bible says, from the things of the world. Keep ourselves unspotted.
Yeah.
Don't get tangled up, entangled again with the yoke of bondage, Paul said.
Yeah.
But be free and just daily relive our life with Christ.
Amen.
Live it every day.
And Amen.
Think back. Sometimes, you know, I'll get up of a day and I'll try to pray and I'll try to... you know, talk to the Lord. And not every day is as rich as other days
in His
divine presence. But when I have days like that, I get to thinking back of some of the days in my past, some of the times and places where I've been and things that the Lord's done.
Yeah.
And he's there just as real as it was when all those things happened. I get to thinking about good services, baptizings and people being saved, revivals, and things that I have witnessed in the Lord, and it just revives it all. And first thing I know, I'm having a good day again.
Amen.
And if I think on the things that are negative and all the bad things and all the things that's going on around me, all of this world and the way, I don't want to dwell on that stuff.
Amen.
I mean, we have to be reminded that it's there. We have to pray for it. But let's do not let that rob us of our salvation and our joy.
Amen.
You know, the Bible said that with joy shall we draw waters out of the wells of salvation.
Amen.
And so we need to reach down deep and draw some of that water daily.
Amen.
And feast and Amen. Drink and enjoy the things of the Lord. I'm just glad that He saved me, and I'm glad that I found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
And it's a joy to walk with Him. I think we need to get rooted and grounded and stable and settled and be unshakable.
Right.
I tell you what, somebody said, you know, oftentimes we'll say, well, no, you know, we're just so weak and so frail and the devil's got so much power and we have to be careful. He's going to get us. Listen, I know that he can. Satan can overpower us and overtake us, but that will happen when we let down.
Yeah.
And when we get down. But I tell you what, if we'll stay where God would have us, the devil will have a hard time getting us.
Amen.
We can put up a good fight with him, can't we?
Yeah. Well, just put on the armor of God.
I've been fighting for a long time.
Yeah.
I fight almost every day, you know. I have a fight, a battle. And I like to fight the devil, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody said, oh, you know, we got to be careful what we say about the devil and sin and all that. I don't have to be careful.
Amen, brother.
I can't say anything bad enough about it.
Amen.
He is the devil. He's the deceiver of man. He's the enemy of the soul.
That's right.
He's stealing. He's robbing. Yeah. He's killing. He's doing it all.
Right.
And we don't need to lift him up and praise him for anything. Right. I don't know why I hear people. Half the testimonies are not testimonies. And maybe you think mine's not tonight, but I'm a preacher, so a preacher's different. You know, he can't testify, he preaches. But I hear people get up and it's called a testimony. They talk about, oh, the devil, what all he... Don't talk about him like that. Let's, as Brother Ed Mann used to say, and I've heard him, probably the floor's probably weak over there now where he used to get to talking about the devil, and he'd stomp him, you know. That's what we need to do. Not just literally do that all the time, but we need to set our mind to destroy him the best we can. We can't destroy him, but we can work on him. We can make him mad, but he will be destroyed one day.
Boy, he got a day coming.
I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Yeah. I'm glad I'm on my road to heaven. And that song said this morning, and I don't know, it's been on my mind all afternoon, just draw me nearer that precious bleeding side of the Master.
Amen.
Nearer the cross. That's where we need to live. I want to live close to the cross. And if I live there, I'll be all right.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You know, I was talking to my sister about some things, and I said, you know, you're supposed to pick up your cross and follow Christ daily. Yeah. I said, instead the world is picking up the trash and all this of the world and taking it out there and spreading it instead of spreading the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you ain't going to get no words like that.
Yeah.
You're going to lose a lot of souls. I mean, there's people looking at Christians in every direction trying to find some little thing.
Oh, yeah.
Some little thing to push you down. And Satan, he's out there to try just to see how strong you are. But I have somebody with me that's stronger than
he is. That's right, greater is he.
And just like Brother Vernon said, me and the Satan goes around and around. I've
heard
the guys a lot.
Amen. I think it's Matthew chapter 5. It says, rejoice, be exceedingly glad when men say all manner of evil against you for my sake. And don't miss this one word, falsely. For great's your reward in heaven. As long as it's not true, just rejoice. If it's true, do something about it. Come up here and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Won't you forgive me? Put it on the blood. But when it's falsely, boy, rejoice, because great's your reward in heaven. But it's been good to be here tonight. I didn't realize we'd gone this long. We'd done 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Sure enough, I certainly appreciate Brother Billy.
Yeah.
I mean, but I put that in there and it blessed me all over the place. I had me like when Molly said, one of them fits her in that old truck of mine going down the road, and I was having a hallelujah time. Every now and then, boy, God just, He does that. He just, I don't know, you get, like you said, you get forget about things of the world, start thinking about the things of God, get caught up in, next thing you know, buddy, you're in it now, and over your head. Bible said, if you be risen with Christ, say those things which are above, or Christ said at the right hand of the Father, and said, not your affection on things on earth, but things in heaven, amen.
Buddy,
Billy,
does that say something over?
I'm just going to turn back everywhere.
We certainly appreciate it, Brother Billy. I mean that. He sure bestowed a blessing on me. Anybody else got a word in your heart tonight?
I appreciate the good message tonight, Brother Eddie. You've got a lot of that left in you. So, I'm about to let the thing distract there. I looked at the computer this evening. There's a lady on the floor where she goes to the Super Bowl party. As a well-known church in the county, since come on down, we're having a Super Bowl.
That's true.
Church.
He's right. Some churches.
That's pretty.
Yeah, they... They have big screen TV and they watch Super Bowl in the church on Sunday. I think that ought to be in the category of God forbid. I don't think they go together, but he's right. There's some churches that got McDonald's in them and everything else. And the Happy Meals and all of that. I'd rather have a church got God in it, amen. He's right.
Just remember Gail this week.
Yeah, I remember Gail Balk. We went over to see her this afternoon and she's really fading fast. I could tell looking in her eyes it won't be long, maybe even tonight she may slip out and go to be with the Lord. a member of the family, they can see it too. They told us she really took a turn since yesterday. But I could see she was really tired in her eyes. Remember her, remember the family, remember her daughter and grandkids. We done?
I remember my wife. She's been going to the test.
Remember Brother James's wife, is that right? Remember James' wife Tuesday. And I think Linda's sister was a daughter having surgery Thursday. Is that right, Thursday? I wrote it down, but I'm sitting there and my mind cloud is on the what?
Remember my son, Billy Jr.
Okay. Remember Billy Jr.?
He used to go to church. He slept away with the devil.
Yeah. If you ever miss one time, I promise you this, the devil's got the advantage. And Brother Vernon really done a good job kind of bringing that out.
I've seen them on the computer. How the Lord help me.
Yeah. If you ever miss one time, a devil, boy, he'll really act on that. He'll talk out the next time. A pastor used to say, strike one, strike two, strike three, and you're out. And he'll do that. The devil will. He's got the advantage. You miss one time. If you make up your mind, I don't care, devil, I'm going. He can't do too much with that. But if you leave it up to choice, he'll talk you out of it. Remember, Brother Billy's son. And Brother Bobby, you dismiss us. Word of prayer tonight. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Lord, for this day. Amen. Blessing to us. Thank you for this opportunity to be here. Thank you for
the church. Yes, Lord. Thank you.